There are calls now for people to get in touch with their MPs, their members of parliament, their MLAs, even municipal politicians, and get them to do something about the situation in Ukraine, to apply some kind of pressure. What can they do?
Well, it is a good idea to contact your local MP. It keeps them in the loop. It keeps pressure on Canada's de facto the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade. Also keeps pressure on the Prime Minister, Stephen Harper. And it's certainly high time that Canada catch up to the U.S. and apply some sanctions. Although the sanctions usually are in the form of visa cancellations, and gosh darn, there's probably a few oligarchs that won't be able to travel to Whistler this year. That's a bit of a slap on the wrist.
Breaks your heart.
I think there's a stretch goal that we could be shooting for. First of all, we have to realize that on the 22nd of January, on the Maidan, there has been formed a parallel government. Mm-hmm. The leader of the government is, in fact, Vitali Klitschko, the boxer. And there are many provinces in Ukraine, or oblasts, that have, in fact, deposed the government-imposed governor and declared themselves to, in fact, have a national or report to the National Council. So there is a parallel government being formed in Ukraine. So now the stretch goal would be, and as such things go in diplomacy, is to call the Ukrainian ambassador onto the carpet, and that's Vadim Pristaiko, if I recall, as well as the general consul, or consul general, I should say, and that is Yuri Olinik, and ask them what's going on in Ukraine, and why should we not consider the Yanukovych government to be totally illegitimate. And if we do consider it illegitimate, it would be a great opportunity for both the ambassador and the consul general to declare their allegiance to the parallel government, and for Canada to then recognize the parallel government as a legitimate interim government until the next election. That would be a blockbuster move.
How likely is it?
Well, first of all, if you don't ask for it, you won't get it. So you always ask for the maximum. You got to remember that Canada does have a tradition here. They were the first country in the West to recognize Ukrainian independence back in late 1991, right after the referendum. So
right.
The referendum was December 1. It was literally within a matter of hours of hearing the result that Canada recognized Ukraine as an independent nation. This isn't all that different. It's a case of recognizing that the Yanukovych government is no longer legitimate, certainly no longer sane. Thank God there is in fact a parallel government. There is somebody that has stood up and said, here is the interim alternative until there's another election. And of course, the elections could be held quite soon. The Yanukovych's mandate actually expired this year, and he stretched it an extra year to have an election next year. So it can be argued that the presidential election should be held now, and of course, we should also have the parliamentary elections at the same time.
Do you think that is he smart enough to see this? I mean, for me, I mean, I'm not a politician, I'm not, I don't travel in lofty circles like that, but just common sense for me would be, he could save himself a lot of face if he simply held an election, which sure, he'll lose, but he'll get away with he could even almost come out not quite a hero, but certainly he could avoid his committing political suicide, is what
well,
I'm saying.
I think the time for that was a little over a month ago.
Well, yes, but even still, now, could
that, that's when he committed political suicide.
So he's a zombie now?
He stepped away from Europe and signed a deal with Putin. He's put himself in a position politically in Ukraine where there is no way out.
So there's no chance.
He is either president for life or he'll find himself incarcerated and lose all his property.
Oh, sure. Of course. Silly question.
So see the president's in jail for him, and he's going to fight tooth and nail to stay out of jail. Of course, he's been there a few times already. So
yes.
I suspect he's had some wonderful experiences there.
Yeah, well, yeah, plus they've set a precedent by jailing the former prime minister, so I suppose, you know, the next step is just a silly question. And here we go, I guess this was me, superimposing our system, our expectation, our understanding of democracy in the West, and, couldn't he just do it that way? But of course, we were discussing this earlier, and he couldn't do it that way.
Here in the West, we're used to doing honorable things.
Exactly.
Governments resign over some small little scandal.
Right.
Here, this is way beyond the scandal that's going on here. I mean, it's everything from betrayal to murdering people. I think that should be pretty scandalous. But of course, you don't have that culture of honor. And certainly Yanukovych could never even understand that because he comes from the opposite culture.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There was a very interesting interview. Actually, it was over a month ago. With a strangely enough, a Russian journalist and political observer called Belkovsky. Hmm. And he pointed out that the motivator, that Yanukovych's motivator is fear.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
is what makes him makes him work, is fear. And right now he feels fear, likely feels more fear of what's happening in the provinces. Certainly, pretty well all of Western Ukraine has already deposed the Kyiv-appointed governors, and there's more to come.
Mm-hmm.
That probably scares them even more than what's going on in Maidan.
Yeah. Huh. Well, too bad for him. He brought it out himself. So once again, if somebody in Canada wants to do something, quote unquote. And there is a lot of pressure. I even saw a YouTube video where, Ukrainians in Ukraine are saying, contact your member of parliament, your president, your king, your whatever. So, Canadians should do, what do you recommend if somebody's going to sit down and dash off a quick email or letter to their MP or MLA? What should they say?
Well, I think we should say about, the gross violations of democratic rights and personal rights and the right to life and liberty, mm-hmm. especially the life part.
Mm-hmm.
And at a very minimum, ask for the most severe form of sanctions, personal sanctions against certain members of the government. We're not talking about sanctions against Ukraine as a country. That would be a disaster, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly sanctions against individuals. The U.S. has actually done that. There's two or three people that already had their visa rights lifted.
Well, we don't have visa in Canada. Ukrainians can come here. Do they need a visa to come to Canada? Right.
No, I think coming to Canada, you still need a visa.
All right. So
I think there's some strict immigration controls that way, too.
Okay. So in other words, keep these people out and freeze their assets. Don't do business with them. Those things.
Exactly right. And, and let's ask for a stretch goal. Let's recognize that Yanukovych is illegitimate and that there is a legitimate interim government. It would be legitimate if we recognize it as such.
Mm-hmm. As they did in Egypt, the West did in Egypt.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a good example.
Right. Okay. Super. Well, thanks for that, Mirko. Appreciate your coming on the show again, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.